Today is Saturday, the 6th of May, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 81st session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our fortune, we have Viral Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, joining the program from Nisaramane Forest Monastery, as usual. And I would like to welcome Bhante with much respect on behalf of all of us joining through Zoom and also through the live stream of the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthasala Foundation. And in with all that, I would also like to welcome all of you with much respect to this program joining through Zoom and the live stream. So our program will span with a quick in-session mindfulness practice as guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness for a specific topic for today and for next week, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where we present written reports and also verbal questions or statements on mindfulness to Bhante for his expert guidance on the matter. So with that, I would like to hand over the session to Bhante to commence proceedings for today's session with in-session practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So we are starting our program with a practice session. So today, I thought that we can do a mindful sitting session. So all of you, you can sit comfortably. If you feel like it, you can turn on video and join more actively. Once you have comfort in your sitting, just close your eyes and try to be aware. Try to notice what is happening in the present moment. You are seated in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes closed. When you pay attention to the present moment, various things might pop into your attention. Various things might appear in your field of awareness. You may hear surrounding sounds, a variety of sounds are there. If you turn your attention towards the body, you may feel various bodily sensations. Notice what are the bodily sensations that are there. Some of you might feel breathing happening inside this body. Probably as a movement of the stomach or chest. It moves forward with the in-breath. It moves backward with the out-breath. Or maybe the breath is touching your nostrils, going in and out. In addition, you may feel the seated body, pressure on your back, pressure on your legs. these sensations might be also there. It's natural that you feel sleepy, maybe aches and pains are there in your body. Various thoughts, mental images, planning might appear. Among these things, we try to be aware that we are breathing. We try to be aware that we are seated. Various thoughts come and go while you are seated in this present moment. Various sounds, aches, pains, sleepiness pass while you are breathing in this present moment. As a group, let's try to continue with this awareness for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. Just take a few seconds to notice how you feel after a few minutes of mindful sitting. Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for such guidance on insightful advice on practicing this. Next, we will be having the talk on mindfulness, and the topic chosen for today is dealing with trust issues. So I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to conduct the talk on behalf of all of us. Over to Bhante again. Thank you and much merits.
Okay, everyone, let's take some time to discuss today's topic and how it is related to our practice, the practice that we are doing. Now, trust issues. That's a very valuable topic to discuss, very much related topic to discuss in our lives. We have to deal with certain situations. We have to deal with certain people. When we encounter such situations, when we encounter such people, trust issues are natural because things doesn't happen according to our wishes. The people, they don't behave according to our wishes. So it's natural that you feel these issues, you feel friction due to the trust issues that you are facing. So we can really discuss this topic. We can relate it to the practice that we are doing as well. So we will see how we can go into more details, depths of this topic. Now, when we think about our social connections, especially the relationships we are having with certain people, close relationships, they are very much affected with the trust issues. If you don't trust those people, if you don't have a trust in them, then you are in trouble. Of course, initially you have inquired, do inquire and get to know people more and more. But once you are committed with them, once you are committed into a relationship, you better be careful with the trust issues. Because if you are not trusting them, then it's going to be a huge difficulty, huge burden on you. Not on somebody else, but it's going to be a burden on you. Because you have selected these people, you have chosen these people to be partners, to be friends, various things, right? So once you have selected, once you have chosen, if you are not trusting them, then it's going to be a problem. It's going to create a lot of friction in your day-to-day life. So that's one way, one area we can say. Then dealing with your thoughts and emotions. There is a deeper issue when it comes to trust issues, not only outside, but inside as well. What's the issue inside? Usually the doubting, the trust issues, they appear due to an inferior complex. You feel inferior. You don't feel you are worthy. You don't feel you belong here. So always you feel inferior. You don't trust yourself. When you lack trust in yourself, it's natural that you lack trust in the outside. Outside people, outside situations, you always feel threatened. When you hang around people, you feel threatened. When certain things happen, you feel threatened because you don't trust yourself. You don't have, you don't believe in yourself. You don't feel like you belong here. So these things are there. These issues go deeper, especially if you have this inferior conflicts, then of course it's natural that you get trust issues. Trusting oneself, believing in oneself, it's very important. If you don't have that trust, if you don't have that belief, then it's going to create a lot of friction. It's going to create a lot of trouble in your life. So that's the deeper issue when it comes to trusting, when it comes to these trust issues. You try to create relationships. You try to maneuver various situations, people. But still, you feel threatened. Still, you feel that you don't belong here. So those things are natural when you have deeper issues in your psyche. Even when it comes to the practice, trust is very much important. If you don't have trust in your practice, if you feel like doubting, questioning all the time, then it's going to be really difficult. Even experience sharing, when you listen to them, you can really feel how people are questioning their practice, how people are doubting their practice. Sometimes they are mindful, but their mind says that they were not mindful. Sometimes they were fine, but their mind say that they were not fine. So even when it comes to the practice, this really influence your practice very much. You have to be careful when you start doubting. You have to be careful when you start with the questioning. You can ask 101 questions, but it's a never-ending process. It's not going to end. Although you get answers, it's not going to end. Although you keep practicing, it's not going to end. You have to make sure that you are believing in yourself. You have to make sure that you are believing in your practice. You have to make sure that you are believing in mindfulness. So that attitude, you have to develop gradually with the practice and with the outside people, with the outside situations. Wherever you are, you have to start there. You can't magically appear in some other place. You can't magically do some other thing. Instead, you have to start where you are. So if you feel like you have a lot of doubts, if you feel like you have a lot of trust issues, you start where you are and gradually work your way into a better situation. Work your way into a better way of thinking. It's a gradual process. Little by little, you have to develop that practice. Let's say if you start walking mindfully, if you start sitting mindfully, can you be assured that you were mindful at least for a single step? Can you be assured that you were mindful at least for a single breath? That is a good starting point. You were sure that you were mindful for a single step. You were sure that you were mindful for a single breath. That's the idea, that's the approach that we take towards the practice. You walk for a while, and at least one step you could place with mindfulness. You sit for a while, at least a single breath you could take with mindfulness. You have no doubt in that. You are mindful during that step. You are mindful during that breath, no doubt. Then the remaining of the time, let's say 15, 20 minutes of sitting, the remaining of the time you were not mindful. So during this time, a lot of questions, doubting arises. That's natural. But you have to make sure that we are not prioritizing those questions. We are not prioritizing those doubts. Instead, you try to trust that one step, that single step. You try to trust that single breath during that time, during that moment, you are mindful. So you prioritize that. Then the question is, can you make it two steps? Can you make it two breaths? Can you make it three steps? Can you make it three breaths? That is a gradual approach that you are taking. Gradually, you try to improve. Gradually, you try to develop your mindfulness. The rest of the time, let's say 15, 20 minutes of sitting, the rest of the time, you are not mindful. That's fine. You don't have to worry about it. The rest of the time, you are not mindful while walking. You don't have to worry about it. Just make sure that at least for a single step, you are mindful and no doubts, no questions. At least for a single breath, you are mindful, no doubts, no questions. That's why even when we discuss our experience, often you might hear a lot of questions are asked. A lot of doubts are there in the reports. But usually we don't prioritize those questions. We don't prioritize those doubts. We give the priority to the time that you were mindful. It could be only few breaths. We give the priority to the time that you are mindful while walking. It could be only few steps, but you have to start there. You have to make sure that you give priority to the mindfulness, not to the unmindfulness. You give the priority to the confidence in your practice, not to the doubting part of your practice. So that's how gradually you can improve. That's how gradually you can develop. That's the approach you have to take. You have to start with a single step. You have to start with a single breath. That's the place to start. And especially when you practice, you can really see how much doubting that's there. How much trust issues are there. You can really see through the experience sharing, through the meditation report, you can see. You don't have to explain your family problems. You don't have to explain your relationship problems. You don't have to explain yourself. Instead, when we hear the report, if it is honest report, then you can really feel how much doubting is there. How many trust issues are there? How many questions are there? You can really feel it. When you listen to a report mindfully, when you listen, you can really feel whether this person is talking about the mindfulness or the unmindfulness. Whether this person has confidence in their practice or whether they are doubting. It's that simple. When you hear the report, you can really see this person is doubting themselves. This person is questioning themselves. This person is having a lot of trust issues. So it's natural that you face the same difficulties in your daily life. It's natural that you face the same difficulties at work. It's natural that you face the same difficulties facing your own psycho. So that's how we approach this issue. Otherwise, if you take each and every incident, each and every problem, and try to answer them, it's not gonna work. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help the audience. Instead, we say, try to practice. Share your experience. That's a reflection of your entire life. That's a summary of your entire life. When you practice, when you sit for a while, when you walk for a while, if you share that experience, then that report will tell a lot about yourself. If you're honest, if you're humble, then that report will tell a lot about yourself. So when you hear that report, we can say, we can advise, or we can discuss how to build more trust towards your practice. How to prioritize mindfulness instead of the unmindfulness. How to prioritize these mindful moments, mindful steps, mindful breaths, instead of prioritizing the unmindful time. So that way we take a gradual, simple approach towards our practice. We take a gradual, simple approach towards the mindfulness. And when you deal with it, when you change your attitude little by little, you realize your entire life is changing. That's because you are changing your mind. You are changing the way that you perceive things. And when you change that, it's natural that the entire life is changing. You are refreshing. You are becoming a new person. So that way, we take a gradual approach towards these issues. Otherwise, if you take your questions, start discussing them, if you start take your doubts and start discussing them, it's not going to end. Because there's a root to all these questions. There is a root to all these trust issues. There's a root to all this doubting. That root we are addressing, that root we are trying to resolve. And when you resolve that, you naturally feel that your problems are resolving. Otherwise, doubting, it's not going to end. You can create a lot of doubts, lot of trust issues you can create. You can blame people for their faults. You can blame yourself for your own trust issues. You can blame the universe, suggesting that it is conspiring against you. That's what most of the conspiracy theorists are doing, that whatever happens, they find a conspiracy theory. They think this happened due to this. And they start thinking, they start doubting, they can't sometimes even sleep because they worry something might happen. Somebody might come. The entire universe is after me. These people, they are after me. That's how they think. Now, even Sri Lanka, some people recently, there was this idea that Aragalaya, the Aragalaya that we had in this country, that was supported by CIA. So that's the newest idea, right? Maybe they were behind. Who knows? So people are worrying, people are wondering what happened. The CIA is behind all these things. That's how they think. Your Facebook account gets hacked and you think CIA is behind that as well. They have more important things to deal with. They have bigger problems to deal with. You just forgot your password and you think CIA is behind that as well. Your partner receives a phone call and you think they're having an affair with somebody else. You think they have married some other person as well while they were married to you. That's how your mind works. You feel like I'm joking, but that's the reality. That's how this mind works. So you start following them, following your own partner, checking their messages, checking their social media accounts, listening to their calls. You are in hell. You don't have to go to the hell and see. Instead, in this real world, you are in hell. On this earth, you are in hell. You are suffering. You are suffering. You can't sleep. So these are the doubts. These are the trust issues that we have in our lives. When you start doubting, when you have trust issues, it's a really bad sign. It's a really bad sign for the relationships. It's a really bad sign for your own mental health, physical health. So you have to start somewhere. You have to make sure you gradually work towards betterment. Otherwise, it's a never-ending process. Doubting, doubting, trust issues. You are feeding the fire. It's not going to end. I'm not suggesting that all the people are trustworthy. Maybe they will cheat on you. Maybe they'll do something that you don't agree. Those things are there. But if you have confidence in yourself, if you are trusting yourself, then it doesn't matter with what other people do. It doesn't matter whether they are protecting your trust or not. You have to trust yourself. You have to have the confidence in yourself. You have to believe in a way. You have to, when you are with a relationship with somebody, when it is a close friend or a family, then you have to believe in them. You have to try and see the good in them. If they are cheating, if they are doing something wrong, eventually that will come to the surface. You don't have to worry, or you don't have to go after them. You don't have to search. That's the poisonous apple of knowledge that we are talking. As long as you don't know, you are fine. As soon as you get to know, you suffer. You torture yourself. That's the poisonous apple. But you can't refrain from eating it. It's so tempting. You know, as soon as you know that something is there, then you want to have it. You want to get that poisonous apple. You want to eat it. It's so tempting. That's the knowledge. That's this information. Then you start suffering. As soon as you eat, you feel this issue, this burning inside you. You start complaining. You start worrying. Then you blame the other people. You blame that poor snake for making you eat that fruit. That's how we create suffering in this very life. That's how we create a hell on this earth. You are suffering. You can't sleep. These things again and again bother you. They come and hurt you. So I am not suggesting some blind faith towards other people, but you have to make sure that you try to see the best of them. You try to believe in them. If they are doing something wrong, if they are cheating, then that will eventually come to the surface. You don't have to go after them. You don't have to keep searching them. Instead, naturally, things will place into their rightful place. Things will go into their rightful place. You just have to wait patiently. You just have to keep trusting them. You just have to keep believing in them. And one day, the truth will be revealed. There's this popular quote on the internet. It goes everywhere. It goes as a Buddha's quote, but I am not sure whether that's true. It says you can't hide the sun, you can't hide the moon, you can't hide the truth. Those three things you can't hide. So that's most likely true, because you know you can't hide those things. Whatever you do, it's like doing in front of a group of people. You think you have the secrecy. You think nobody saw. That's your idea. But you forget something important, because your own mind knows. There's a witness always. Who is the witness? Your own mind is the witness. You can't get rid of that witness. Although you have entire world not see that crime, there is a one witness. So that witness is always watching. That witness is always there. So naturally, things fall into their rightful place. Naturally, the truth is revealed. So you don't have to worry so much about these things. You don't have to question these things so much. Allow the things to flow according to the nature. And naturally, the time will come. Things will reveal themselves. So that's the proper attitude. That's the proper way. You are trusting. You are believing. You are having faith in situations, people. You try to work with that. If that person is not right for you, eventually they'll drop from their life. If that situation is not right for you, if that place is not right for you, eventually you'll move to a different place. eventually you'll among different people. If you have that trust, then of course the things will place, things will fall into their rightful place. The universe got your back if you have that trust, if you have that belief. It's not easy to have that belief. It's not easy to have that trust, because always we are doubting. Always we are encouraging our doubts. Always we need that poisonous apple of knowledge. We go after it. We chase it. That's how we do. So you can really see the triggering point. As long as you don't know, you are fine. As soon as you get that information, you start suffering. It could be just an email. It could be a phone call. Something like that. As soon as you get that bit of information, you start suffering. You start doubting. You start questioning your own worth. So that's how it works. So have faith in the universe. Have faith in other people. Try to see the best in those situations. Try to see the best out of people. If the situations are not worthy, if the people are not worthy, they are not right people for you. They are not right situations for you. Gradually, they'll disappear from your life. And right people will come into your life. Right situations will come into your life. In order to do that, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust this process that's going. If you have that trust, if you trust yourself, if you trust this nature or the universe, then gradually you realize everything is happening perfectly. No issue, no mishap. Everything is happening perfectly. Everything is happening in the proper time, the exact time. That's how it works. That's how it works. You have to gradually develop that attitude. Gradually develop that faith. Start with a single step. Start with a single breath. That's where you have to start. If you do that, if you make it two breaths, if you make it two steps, then you realize you are growing a lot. You are changing your life. You are becoming a new person. The issue is this ego. The issue is this I. Big capital I that's there. Always you think the center is me. The entire universe is rotating around me. That's your idea. So when it's more like a vortex. It's creating this center. And you start suffering. You start creating your own hell on this earth. But when you improve in your practice, when you develop your practice, you realize these thoughts, these worrying thoughts, the future planning, these questioning, these doubts, they are reduced, not within a day, not within a week, not within a month. But when you keep on practicing, you realize earlier you heard so many noise inside this mind. It's like 100 people talking at the same time. That's how your mind was like earlier, before the practice. There was this YouTube video explaining a certain kind of a mental issue. I can't remember, autism or OCD or something like that, right? So it's like this video is running. You can hear various people talking. Your own voice is there. Some other people's voices are there. Everybody is suggesting something at the same time. And when you keep watching it for a few minutes, you realize how much disturbing that is. Somebody is saying one thing. Other person is saying something else at the same time. In your head, all these voices are in your head. So that's how the mind works. You feel you have no break. You have no silence. It's always talking, commentary. That's there. Various people coming and giving commentary inside your head. Inner chatter, we call it. commentary, we call it. So that commentary is there. That commentary is doubting, questioning, having trust issues. This is how our mind is. You feel like you can't take a break. You can't catch a breath. It's that disturbing. It's that irritating. That's how the head is. That's how the mind is. But gradually, when you improve in your practice, you realize more and more gaps are there. The thoughts are there, thinking is there, but you feel there are silent times as well. The thinking, it's not so strong as it used to be. The memory, it's not so strong as it used to be. And when I say the thinking is not so strong, the memory is not so strong, some people, you might start worrying. If we practice our memory thinking, we will become weaker and I can't work, I can't do my job. That's how you think. But I am saying that unnecessary energy wastage, that's going to reduce. Always thinking, always worrying, always commentary. That's how our mind is. And it can't travel in a direction, in a single direction for a long time. Because always shaking, always movement. You take few steps in the northern direction, then you take few more steps in some other direction. So how can you travel? This is how the mind is. Lot of energy wastage is there. Your energy, your precious energy is wasted due to these questioning, these doubts, these worrying. That's how our mind works. But gradually, you realize with the practice, there are more and more silent times. And when the thinking happens, it becomes really efficient. When the memory happens, it becomes really efficient. Depending on the situation, you think efficiently. Depending on the situation, the memory comes to you. That's how the change will happen. Otherwise, not always thinking, not always remembering. That's not how it works. Instead, this process becomes more and more efficient. When you do it, when you give attention, you can do it well. If you are not giving attention, if you don't want to do it, then you are more like ignorant towards that thing. But when you give the attention, you know what to do, you know how to think, you know what to remember. Everything aligns perfectly. So that's the change that will happen. More and more silent times in between thoughts. More and more silent times in between memory. You feel like you weren't there during past couple of minutes. You feel like you weren't there during past couple of seconds. That is the change that will happen gradually. And with that change, that big I, capital I that was there, that big ego that was there, it will gradually fade away. It will gradually fade away and you realize the things are happening and they don't concern you so much. Things are happening, they don't worry you so much. Instead, you accept more and more. You have trust in those situations. You have trust in those people. They happen, you don't have to worry about them. These people do various things. You don't have to worry about those actions. Just you keep on working on the matters, on the things that really matters. You prioritize the things that really matters and you keep your attention there. You work on them. Gradually you realize everything is happening perfectly. You don't have to worry. You don't have to start changing those situations. Instead, you naturally find the way among these difficult times. You naturally find the way among the storms that are there. So that's how we can improve our practice. That's how we can build trust in us. That's how we can build trust in outside situations, people. Gradually, you start developing. Gradually, you start making yourself better. More and more you practice, more the practice mature, you realize you don't have to worry about those doubts. You don't have to worry or question about those things. Instead, let them be. They will naturally fall into their rightful place. You have to just give them more time. Whether it could be people or the situations, you just have to give them more time. And they will fall into their rightful place. That's how the practice matures. That's how you feel more and more incremental levels of peace within you. Little by little, you feel that you are experiencing life differently. Earlier, there was so much worrying. Earlier, there were so many doubts. But now, same situations are there, same people are there, but you are not worrying so much. You are not doubting so much. Instead, you just experience life differently. These situations, these people, they used to trigger you. But now, they are not triggering you. That's the change that will happen. That's how you feel that you experience the life differently. That's how the practice will mature. And when that happens, you don't have to worry about other people. You don't have to worry about yourself. You don't have to deal with these trust issues. Instead, gradually, they will fade away more and more. Incremental levels of peace will be there. That's the idea. That's the way of the practice. So trust or trust issues, it is very much related to our lives. It is very much related to our practice. So we started the practice. We try to get rid of the trust issues there. We try to get rid of the attitude there. Then little by little, you start trusting your practice. Just for a single breath, just for a single step, you know, you are sure. And when you increase that little by little, gradually you become a new person. Gradually you start experiencing the life differently. So that's the idea. I think we have one more week to discuss this important issue, important topic. So we will try next week as well. And today's talk, that's the idea I want to give. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that insightful talk on mindfulness. It's very enthusiasm causing for us to listen to such depth and breadth across the topic. Yeah, it's not an easy topic to tackle, but Bhante tackled it in a very excellent manner. Thank you so much and much merits. Next, we have the question and answer session commencing. So I would like to invite Lushani to commence the session on question and answers. Thank you, Lushani. Much merits.
Thank you, Namantha. I hope you can hear me well.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable talk. Like Namantha said, I think that was a extremely valuable talk for us. And as Bhante said, it's all about the practice. The more we practice, this becomes much easier to do in daily life. So on that note, let me share my screen with you and just give you some very quick basic guidance and instructions on how to do this valuable practice. I'm just going to quickly share my screen. I hope you can see my screen now, Namantha.
Yes, we can see it. Yes, so good.
Excellent. So There are some very quick instructions here. So if you'd like to see the instructions on mindful walking and sitting, you can click on these links that will give you some basic instructions on how to start the practice. Once you watch these videos, you know, try to establish a daily practice. It can be first thing in the morning or whichever time that's suited to you. Start with a few minutes and try to increase the amount of time spent both doing mindful walking as well as the mindful sitting practice. And until you get it up to about 1 hour each day for each of the practices, so 2 hours in total. Write down your experiences. That's really useful, especially as you start your practice. It's very useful to get the guidance, and that's what we are doing next. You can write down your sort of experiences during your practice in a what we call a reflections report. And so you can put down sort of what you experience, you know, how you felt whilst walking and sitting, any sort of observations, how your sort of body weight shifted from one leg to another, any prominent sensations. So just putting down all of those observations, as well as if you have any questions for Bhante, you can put that down in your reflection report as well. And then email it to us. There's two ways of doing it. There's the Google form, which you can see from that link, or you can also email it to beginnerssnv@gmail.com. Lastly, these sessions are all recorded. So if you want to go back and have a look at these sessions, they are available at the Nisaranamaneya website. So that's at nisarana.lk. All of these sessions can be watched again. So wish you all a very good practice for the next week, and keep sending your reflection reports, because that's the best way to share the practice and also ask questions and get guidance. It's a great opportunity to have Bhante to give you this guidance, especially as you start a practice. I think Namantha will also put the guidance on the chat, just in case you did miss those links. They are all available. So with that, I will now read the reports that we have got. So there are two reflection reports for this week. So you can also get a feel for what the reports say. There might be very good guidance as well. Bhante, Avasarai, there are two reports. I will read the first report now. Report number one, walking meditation. Walked on tile floor, noted lifting, moving, placing of each foot. Observed hardness of floor, softer feet, warmth, wetness, discomfort, pains, unsteadiness, muscle contractions, and cooler areas on top of feet. After a short time, mind noted the beginning, middle, and end of each lift, move, and placing actions, as well as gaps between them. Sounds, sights, not distracting. Occasional thoughts noted and passed, not too distracting. A few short provocations observed, but mind soon coming back to feet. Body became warm and this sensation passed, and after a while, a cool sensation arose, passed through the body. Electric shocks like sensation in most parts of body noted, more on feet and legs. Walked for 35 minutes. Sitting meditation. Mind went straight to the breath. Noted in and out breaths initially, not equal in length, but soon became so. Thoughts, images, sounds, not distracting. In and out breaths barely perceptible. Pain noted, but mind went to breath soon after, not distracting. But pain arose in another area, and again mind went back to breath. Mind calm, peaceful, and empty of thoughts for a while. Do not think sleep arose, but not sure. Sat for 40 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Noting when irritation, anger, impatience arising more in daily life. On one occasion, noted mind being very upset about some comments from family member. Part of the watching mind remembering it was a result of own actions to hear this, an inability of other to control spontaneous thoughts that arise. despite this anger, persisted. Decided to watch anger changing in intensity, but it persisted. Part of mine trying to not speak to family member, the other part aware this was still due to the annoyance and it was unhelpful. Even when the other person was making an effort to be friendly after a few hours, despite mind recognizing that it was unhelpful to stay angry, continue to observe annoyance persisting. Mind seeing how the I making not helping. Anger persisted to the next morning, but much less after more reflection, anger settled and peace arose. The following day, a similar situation arose from a comment, but unlike previously noted the irritation arise and watched how the body felt with the irritation, i.e. tightening in the heart and noted heart rate increasing. As the effect on the body was observed, within seconds the irritation disappeared, loving kindness and sympathy arose, was able to feel no animosity at all, and changed the mood to the other person too. Changed the mood of the other person too. Much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of the report.
Okay, so that's the experience that we have when we deal with various people, various situations. That is very much related to last time's topic as well. Anger, how to deal with it, how to manage it. So some of you might recall that we talked about observing the bodily sensations due to these emotions, thoughts. So in this report, you can really find a lot of information how the anger is acting like more like a poison in our body. It is more like injecting yourself with a poison and expecting the other person to die. That's more like anger, right? So you can feel how the body is heating up, how the heartbeat is rising, how you start shaking. All these observations are there. So that's how that emotion, those emotions, thoughts work. You can really feel it, right? But if you observe these bodily sensations, you are no longer one with the anger that's there. That's the importance of this observation. Earlier, you were lost in this anger. Now you separate yourself and you see how the body is changing. You observe how the body is changing. That's the value of that observation. When you observe yourself, you are separate from the situation. You become distant from the situation. That's very much important. That's why you see when you travel, certain signs are there. CCTV cameras active. Or you can see a camera. Right, so as soon as you see a camera, you feel that you are on watch. You can't behave the natural way. Sometimes there are certain clips, videos on YouTube, a thief trying to break in. They work, they try, suddenly they see the camera. As soon as they see the camera, their behavior changes. They cover their face. They try to run away. Something happens. But they are already recorded. Right? So that's how people behave when they are on watch, when they are on camera. Right? You can't behave in a natural manner. You can't behave the way that comes to you. So this is how the mindfulness works. You keep on observing. When you're on watch, when you're on camera, then you can't behave in the natural way. That's why we say mindfulness is more like a CCTV camera. Cameras on. CCTV on. Keep on watching yourself. The situations could be good. The situations could be bad. It doesn't matter. Now, when it comes to the practice, most people think it's only the negative situations that we have to practice. The positive ones, you can go get lost in them and just enjoy. That's how you think. But when it comes to a CCTV camera, it doesn't discriminate between situations. Whether somebody being so generous, offering so many things to people, the camera is not moved. Somebody coming and stabbing a person, the camera is unmoved. So that's how the CCTV camera is like. Similarly, in our practice, the mindfulness works. Mindfulness is on. It doesn't discriminate between good things versus bad things. The anger versus compassion. Right? So that's how you keep on observing. That observation matters. You are distancing yourself from the situation. You are becoming the observer. Earlier, you were lost in these thought processes. Earlier, you were lost in these emotions. Now, no longer you are lost due to the practice. So that's very much a difference. Whole difference in the attitude. Earlier, you were lost in those thoughts. Earlier, you were lost in those emotions. So they become your world. The anger become your world. These revengeful thoughts, they become your world. But now you separate yourself from the process and become the observer. So that's a huge change in your attitude. That's a huge change in perspective, right? So that's the idea of the practice. That's how you have to mature in the practice. And when you observe those bodily sensations, when you observe what's happening due to these emotions, thoughts, you become separate from the process or the thought or the emotion. You create a separation from the process. So that separation is very much important. That separation is what we are encouraging. Anger could happen. We are not suggesting to get rid of the anger. We are not suggesting to get rid of those thoughts, emotions. Instead, what we are saying is that separate yourself from that process and keep on observing. Keep on observing. Again and again, you keep on observing. Now, in your report, you have two situations. Now you get chances in the future as well. Not like that you have to chase after them. Anyway, people will come and say hurtful things. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to pay them for that. Right? They will voluntarily, free of charge, they will come and do. So when those opportunities come, when those occasions come, you try to see how the mind is reacting to this situation. How the body is reacting to this situation. How it is creating anger. How it is creating revengeful thoughts. How it is creating revengeful words. How it is creating revengeful actions. So that's the flow that goes. So this way, you keep on observing. Not only two opportunities. 101 times, they do it. There's this misconception that you have to get rid of the anger. That's not how it is done. Instead, you don't feed the anger. You stop feeding it. You stop fueling it. How you stop? You by distancing yourself. By becoming the observer. Earlier you kept fueling it. Earlier you kept feeding it. Now you distance yourself. And when that happens, the anger will be there. But it won't be so vicious. It won't be so poisonous. The thoughts will be there. But they won't be so vicious. They won't be so poisonous. That's the change. That's what we're after. Don't try to get rid of these things. Instead, let them be. Don't feed them. Don't feed them. Don't fool them. Keep them as your pets. right? You have to make sure that you are not feeding them unnecessarily. You have to make sure that you are behaving them properly. That's the way. Otherwise, it's not gonna work. You are keep feeding them, you are keep whirling them, and it's gonna be a huge problem. It's gonna be a huge fire. Right? So that's how we mature in our practice. Again and again we observe, again and again we do this. Although I say sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to not get involved. Sometimes it's difficult to not react. So in those situations, like in your report you mentioned, till the next day the anger was there. Till the next day the thoughts were there. That irritation was there. So it's better if you can separate yourself, if you can go for a break, it's better. If you can distance yourself, at least physically, distancing yourself physically, if you can't distance yourself from mentally, try to distance yourself physically. Go for a break. Go for a walk. Give your attention to something else. That something else might not be important, but it's important in the sense of distracting your attention in a healthy way. So that's why they say when you have an argument, don't try to, you know, resolve it. Instead, go for a walk. Go for a cup of coffee. Come back after 45 minutes. Come back after a few hours. Try to see how the mind is now. What we do usually is that we try to resolve it on the spot. We can't sleep without resolving it. We can't give our attention to something else without resolving it. So you create a huge mess out of this small problem. If you can take a break, when you come back, you might see it differently. You might be able to respond differently. That's why it's important to take a break. It's at least it's good to tell them directly, don't come and talk to me. I'm angry, so stay away. You can directly say, that part you can say. The problem is if you say more, then it's going to be a problem. You can say, I am angry, so keep your distance. Then that's a healthy way of dealing it. You tell them directly, you tell them to stay away for a few hours at least. That way, if you can approach these situations, that way if you can tell, go for a break, if you can go for a walk, if you can tell them directly that I am angry, so stay away. I am irritated, don't talk to me. If you can tell them directly, then that's more healthy way of dealing. That's more healthy way of navigating these situations. Now there's this saying in Sinhala, even let's say the cobras, they have that hood, right? If they don't have that hood, if they don't show that hood, then people will come and, you know, they start poking, even the cobras, right? So you have to show the hood once in a while. You have to tell them, I'm a cobra. I'm not a garden snake. I have poison. And when you show that hood, people will understand better to stay away. Better not get bitten. So that expression is valuable. Even here in the forest, you can sometimes come across cobras. They don't chase after you. It's not like that. Unless you step on them, it's not going to be a problem. But they show the hood. They give you a sign. I am not a garden snake. I am not a rat snake. I'm a cobra. So better stay away. That sign is there. So you keep your distance. You don't want to get bitten. You don't want to eat the poison inside your body. So that way you have to deal. better to take a break from these situations. That break could be like moving away physically, going for a break, or telling these people just to stay away for a while. Those things are healthy ways. What we usually do is that we don't express ourselves. We just keep it hidden. We just keep on arguing. We just keep on dealing with these people. And you don't know how much of a mess you will create. So gradually, you find your own ways. Not the ways I'm suggesting, but your own unique ways you can find how to navigate these situations better. Don't try to get rid of these situations. Don't try to get rid of these people. Instead, they are doing a volunteer task. They are doing a favor, free of charge. You don't have to go looking for them. They will come and do, right? When those occasions come, when you encounter such situations, such people, you have to make sure that you make the best out of those situations, out of those people. So that way you can mature in your practice. So thank you for sharing. I know everybody can relate to this situation. So you can keep on practicing and maybe share once more in future.
Thank you, Bhante. The second report for this week, mindful walking. Walked outdoors on the pavement with shoes on. Became aware of the anticipation in the mind regarding the start of walking, which was not a formal walking session. There was a quick body scan at the beginning, followed by a natural pace of walking. Noted the quick lifting of each foot, shifting of body weight, touch of clothing on the body, afternoon breeze on the face and hands, and heat from sunshine. Also noticed various muscle movements in the moving body. The attention moved effortlessly between feet movements, body sensations and adjusting of body's balance along narrow areas, turnings and crossings of the road once. Thought emerged from time to time and they fell away when attention returned to feet or bodily sensations. Walked for 30 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. As some planned building work is taking place at home, the formal sit-in practice did not take place this week. However, it was a revelation to notice how calm the mind had been and how much more mindful it has been in coming to terms with many changes taking place in quick succession. Several times when stress arose, the awareness of that there is stress in the mind was noted. This attention naturally helps stress to slide away and calmness to take over. When there was a request to help another amidst the chaos of building work, instead of dramatizing things, the mind calmly helped them to the best of the ability in the circumstances. There was a buoyant feeling in the mind afterwards. Also, there were several friends and family who offered help too, with meals, etc., which was also noted with gratitude. The building work will continue for another few weeks, and rather than seeing it as a disruption, inconvenience or annoying, the mind is getting used to a healthier way of understanding the same. For example, instead of worrying about disruption, the awareness of this is how it feels when there is chaos even though it's planned, instead of inconvenience, the awareness of mind can become more aware of when things are convenient instead of taking these times for granted. Instead of annoyance, the awareness of annoyance is just going against what is taking place, and there is the option of going with the flow rather than against it. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of the report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. So that too is very much related to our practice. Now these situations come, right? Now if you are sitting in a comfortable home, if you are having your usual routine, if you feel comfortable with the people that you deal with, we think that's how we can find happiness or at least fulfillment. When your home is perfect, you are peaceful. When your job is perfect, you are peaceful. When you have to deal with only the pleasing people, you are peaceful. That's how we think. So in a way, we are in our comfort zone. When we are in our comfort zone, we feel comfortable. We feel peaceful, we feel happy. But as soon as we are moving beyond that zone, if something happens, then we are irritated, we are agitated. That's the usual way, right? But gradually, with practice, you realize I am facing these challenging situations. You are not going after searching them. Instead, they come to you. When they come, can you be glad? That's Pollyanna's glad game. Whatever happens, you can find something to be glad. So here our idea is whatever happens, you can be glad that you can use it for your practice. You can observe your mind in those situations. So that's the glad game we are playing when we practice mindfulness. Whatever happens, we can practice mindfulness. Right? So that's the way, that's the glad game that we are playing. Right? So that way, you somehow try to manage these situations. When you move beyond your comfort zone, when you pass your comfort zone, then you realize your mind is fully attentive. You are on toes. Now you don't know what will happen next. Now your all plans are ruined. Right? When there is no plan, that's the best plan. Really difficult. Really irritating. But that's the way of the practice. Gradually, you move beyond your comfort zone. As soon as you go into a new situation, you talk to a new person, you go to an unknown country with an unknown language, then you realize your senses are fully attentive. Otherwise, you are in this sleepwalking mode most of the time. Things are happening, you just follow your autopiloting, right? They call it sleepwalking. Sleepwalking is a very nice way. Although the people are attentive, although the people are awake, most of them are sleepwalking. They are in their comfort zone. But when you move beyond your comfort zone, you realize you are really attentive. You are on toes. That's the way of mindfulness. No plan is the best plan. Right? Now you are not in your comfort zone. Now you are not in the safety. Instead, unknown situation, unknown people, unknown country. That's how it works. Move to an unknown country with an unknown language. You can't even read a board there, a signboard there. Then you are fully attentive. You are on toes, right? So similarly, we try to face these situations with awareness, with attention. So they say, as an analogy, that when you feed a dog a full meal, then throughout the night, the dog will sleep. Entire night, the dog is asleep. So his duty is forgotten. Usually we say that dogs, they are protective. They are attentive. They keep you safe. That's the idea, no? Not in this new world, whatever. But earlier, that was the idea, right? So you give them a full meal for dinner and till the next morning they'll sleep. They don't even know till they are dragged, right? By a thief or somebody, right? So that's how the dog will be if you feed them fully. But if you give them a half of a meal, then what will happen? The hunger will keep them awake. They are agitated. They are irritated. And they are awake. They are fully attentive. They can't sleep properly. They don't have that comfort. Right? So that's how we should be. Otherwise, you are sleepwalking. You are asleep. Comfortable in your sleep. You don't know what's happening. You don't know till the death comes to you. Right? So you have to be attentive. Don't feed them entirely. Just keep them half fed, right? Don't be too comfortable. Keep some disturbing things. That's how you could be. That's how you could be very much attentive. Now, there was this work hour here. So today we were working. Somebody, this young boy, he was like 30 years or so. And he had to climb a tree. He came from Canada. a local fellow, but he stayed there for some time and he came back. So now he is asking Bante how to climb. How to climb this tree? It's not a huge tree, it's a small tree, but he doesn't know how to climb. So I asked him, haven't you done this when you were little? No, this is the first time I'm climbing a tree. It's funny in a way, you know, 30-year-old person, it's the first time climbing a tree. But when that happens, so I encourage him, climb. If you fall, we'll take you to the hospital. Right? When you climb a tree for the first time of your life, then you are really attentive. You learn new areas, regions of your brain is active. When I was little, I was on trees most of the time. Not on the ground, most of the time on trees. Right? Half of the time on trees. But this person is climbing, 30 years old, climbing a tree for the very first time. So unknown situation, unknown thing, a new thing, his brain is fully active. Let's say he fall, he will realize when I fall, it hurts. That's a good realization. Because most people, they don't know this. They don't know when they fall from a tree, how it hurts. A broken bone, how it hurts, they don't know. So when you fall, you will realize it will hit you. You know, this is how the broken bones are. This is how the broken flesh is. Hurting, paining, aching, screaming. So you have to have that experience. And when you have, you are moving beyond your comfort zone. In a way, your life begins there. Otherwise, you are comfortable. You are sleepwalking. You don't know what hits you. So that's how we are using these situations. You are using these people to navigate life better, in a way to grow ourselves, in a way to improve our practice. When these new situations, unknown situations come, your mind is fully alert. Your mind is fully attentive. So in a way, you have to again and again introduce certain uncomfortable or new things to your life. Don't allow yourself to be too comfortable. Whatever the stage you may be, let's say building a house only for a few weeks. But after that, do you plan to be comfortable? That's not the way. You have to have some new things happening in your life. That's how we learn. That's how we go beyond our comfort zone. So always try some new things. Allow new things to come to your life, and that's how the real growth will happen. Otherwise, you are comfortable, you are sleepwalking, you know, you will spend your life without even knowing it. But the new things come, it hurts sometimes. The pain is there, aches are there, difficulty is there, friction is there. That is the signs of growth. Growth appears in that form. When you are comfortable, no growth, nothing is happening. Even in your practice, that's why most people, they don't want to practice, because they are comfortable. They don't want to deal with this real problem. They keep on arguing about various other things, but not talk about the elephant in the room. Not talk about the real issue. That's how they spend most of the time. But if you keep on practicing, then you realize these thoughts, emotions, uncomfortable, difficult to deal with. But you are dealing. You are improving. You are expanding yourself. In a way, this practice takes you from known to the unknown. Known side of your mind to the unknown side of your mind. Or to the born side of your mind to the unborn side of your mind. This practice is gradually taking you there. It is expanding your comfort zone. Every day some new things appear in your practice. Every day some progress is made in your practice. And gradually you realize you are moving from known to the unknown. You are moving from born to the unborn. That's a real challenge that we are taking, especially when we are practicing, we are taking a challenge. That same challenge we can take in outside world as well. When you are a practitioner, you go and do new things. You see how your mind is fully alert when you do them. You see how in a dangerous situation, you are fully alert. You are on toes. Mindfulness at its best. So that's how you can make real progress in your life. That's how you can make real progress in your practice. So these are the opportunities. So keep on rebuilding your house, not for 3 weeks, for a longer period. When you become comfortable with that, then start a new project. Start building a neighbor's house, right? Then it's going to be a real mess, right? So that's how, little by little, you try to develop your practice. You try to mature with your practice. So you will realize that no plan is the best plan. Now, when these situations happen, although you plan for this construction, it's not happening according to the plan. Now you are threatened, right? We want to be comfortable. We want to have a plan. Now these days, so many things are there. You don't know even tomorrow what's there. You can't pay attention. So people try to plan a week ahead. That's not how it's going to work. Instead, always things appear. So when your plan is threatened, when there is no plan, you can realize how agitated, how much friction you feel. So always you have to keep on moving. Always you have to keep on expanding your comfort zone. This is the way. Always try to try new things, try new experiences, talk to new people, see how it is helping you to mature in your practice, how these new situations, new people helping you to mature in your practice. So thank you for sharing. Keep on working.
Thank you, Bhante, for those excellent tools and guidance and instructions. It's a very valuable session today. We have actually run out of time, so I am going to quickly ask if there are any questions. You can raise your Zoom hand. I don't think we have time for a lot of questions, so the first person to raise the hand can ask. Rajika, yes, I can see you have raised your hand. Go ahead. You can unmute yourself and ask.
Thank you, Doshani. Avasarai Bhante. I have a quick question about Bhante's talk. I mean, I agree with everything Bhante discussed during the discussion, but I thought I just raised this question because it just bothered my mind when I hear that. And Bhante told us, like, if we have question or if we don't trust a person, if things happen, just stay with the person or the situation, trusting the person. But I don't know how far we should trust one person if someone keep lying or keep breaching the trust. I feel like we stay some time, and we give some chances, and if that person keep doing that, the pattern still keep happening, we should move away from that person. As Bhante talk about, I think the first question Bhante told us, like, physically give a distance. So sometimes the mentally that person's really that situation or the what the other person doing is the mental is impacting our the mental well-being. I thought we should move away from that person. Sometimes we have to make a special effort in certain situations. So I thought I'd just raise that question, and I'm looking for a quick answer, Bhante, if you have time. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay, creating a distance, it helps, at least physically. Distance can do marvelous things. It's a huge change. Now, the traffic, that's a good example. When you are among traffic, it's really irritating. It's really difficult. And you start worrying, you start wondering what is happening. And everybody is, you know, honking, creating sound, blaming, complaining. That is how the traffic is. But if you have some distance, let's say you are traveling in a small aircraft, looking this scene, watching the traffic, then you don't feel that friction. You feel that the vehicles are arranged on the road perfectly. Small boxes are there, and it's more like a pattern arranged on the road. So that's the difference. That's how the difference will create a huge change. Change in things that you experience. When you're among the traffic, it is so difficult. But when you have the distance, it feels comfortable. It's another passing thing, right? So that's physical distance. Similarly, if you have mental distance from a situation, then this same change will happen. That's why the practitioners find, peace in this chaotic world. The world is there. Things are there. They have a distance in their mind. That distance is keeping them safe. That distance is allowing them to be peaceful in this chaotic world. So distance helps. That distance is very much valuable. So your idea is right. You have to create at least a physical distance. Like instead of the ground traffic, you find air traffic. That's the difference, right? Then in the mind also, similarly, you have to create some distance. So when that distance is there, it is happening. It is happening, but it is not affecting you so much. When I say create distance in your mind, you can't actually intentionally do it. That's the issue. If you try, then with that same trying, you are creating more and more, you are becoming more and more closer to that situation, closer to that people. Instead, it is naturally happening. Naturally happening with the practice. Only thing you can do is be mindful. See how these people, how these situations are affecting you, how they are troubling you. And with that observation, eventually your mind will find distance from it. That's how the real peace will arise. Otherwise, if you try to create distance from that same trying, you become more and more attached to it, right? So just surrender to the situation. Allow the mind to create natural distance. That's why sometimes we say, now doing certain addictions, falls, those things are there, no? So when they come to the practice, they say, I have these addictions, I have these falls, I am lying, I am killing, I am stealing. So they start suffering. Now they have this idea that these things are wrong. These addictions are wrong. So as soon as they get that idea, they start suffering. They start blaming themselves. They start creating a huge mess of trouble for themselves. But what we suggest is that allow the faults to be there. Do them while knowing that you are doing them. Do them while seeing the friction. Do them while knowing how these things create suffering. So there is this story, person. He's a slaughter. He's slaughtering various animals for food. So this teacher is saying killing is bad, don't do it. But that person says, my livelihood depends on this thing. So I have to kill. I have to kill these animals and I'm doing it. That person is saying. So the teacher is saying, okay, at least do it mindfully. See the expressions in those animals. See how they react to your actions. See the pain they are experiencing. That's the advice the teacher has given. So this person went and he does it his usual job. But he observed animals. He tried to see what is happening, how their reactions are, how their facial expressions are, how much pain do they feel. And when he's mindful, when he's aware, when he's observing, he couldn't do it for a very long time. He came back and he was suffering, he was complaining. They look like my children. The expressions on their faces, they are so fearful. They feel so much pain. So as soon as he become mindful, he can't do it. That's why most of the people before a crime, they want to have a shot. They want to become drunk. Little bit of ignorance is needed to do those actions. That's why most of these confessions, you hear them drinking first. That's the very first act. They go and have a drink. Then they get into the vehicle, then they go and murder somebody. Right? Those confessions, if you listen to YouTube, you can find confessions, how they have done it, right? So they drink. That's the very first step. Little bit of ignorance is needed. Then they can do anything. Even before dancing, people need some bit of a ignorance, a drink. Only with a drink, they can dance. Without a drink, they can't dance. So that's how the mind works. So when you observe mindfully, you realize you feel the suffering. You feel these animals are like my children. The expressions on their faces, the pain they feel. You really feel it. That's how we can do. So don't try to create distance. Instead, see the effects again and again. See how it is influencing your mind. See the harmful nature of these things. Gradually, with time, you realize now your mind has created distance. The observation is the way. So physically or mentally, at least have physical distance. If possible, create mental distance with the practice. And that's the way to be peaceful.
Thank you very much.
I answered your question. Or did I answer something else? That's my usual way.
Yeah, something else, but I'll sort it out. Thank you very much. You answered, yeah, at the end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rajika, and thank you, Bhante, for that very insightful answer. I think we have run out of time, as much as I'd like to sort of continue with the Q&A. Thank you, Bhante, for being here today and giving us a valuable talk and valuable Q&A session. Much merit to you, Avasarai. I will hand over back to Namantha to close the session.
Thank you, and much merit to Lushani for a brilliant Q&A session, and also thank you and much merit to Bhante. It has been a great session, another fantastic session for this program. Very insightful issues and wisdom presented from Bhante Sen, and also thank you so much for participating through the reports and all through the verbal question from Rajika as well. Now we are severely out of time today. Our only excuse is that this has been such a fantastic session. I would like to pass on merits to Venerable Bhante for taking time, effort, and making such insightful wisdom in today's session, where we have learned so much. So we pass on merits to Bhante and wish that Bhante's own practice will keep on improving. Of course, these sessions are proof of such improvement from Bhante's end, and we wish for further improvement. Also, we would like to mention with great respect our Chief Bhante, Most Venerable Bhante Udayarigam Dhammajiva Mahatheru, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarvana Air Force Monastery, for his kind guidance and for his request to initiate this program. Almost out of nowhere. So I wish these merits will pass on to Chief Bhante, and that he will also further his practice to advanced states of mind. Next, I would also like to mention with much gratitude the wonderful organizers who have worked at the very initiation stage of these programs to establish this, and who are still working hard, doing many brainstorming activities to improve this program. Thank you so much, and we pass on merits to all of you so that your own practices will keep on improving. And then I would also like to thank and pass on merits to all of you who are participating in this for your listenership in this program. You provide us the backbone of the justification to maintain this program, have Bhante visiting into the session, dedicating Bhante's valued time. So much merits to all of you. I will close the Zoom session now, and wishing you a mindful, happy and happy week ahead, and we will meet next Saturday at the same time. And I wish that these great insights will stay in your mind and be available for you to apply whenever you need them throughout the week and beyond. So I will close the session now and hope to see you next week. Thank you. Much merits to all of you.